As Gooch is off camera, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio right here in Mattawan, New Jersey. We got a packed house, baby, because it's the playoffs. It's playoff time. It's Sturch. It's Gooch. It's the return of the sauce. Kyle Kerb's in the house. And, of course, his... I guess for Batman, you have to have a Robin, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, here's the prop beaver himself, AJ Bascone, returning to his original coordinates of birth. And, of course, you have, there's other people in studio that you probably can't see, and that's Dina Simpson. She's the pick bitch. She's doing the old producing. And, of course, we also have Scoop, who doesn't matter. He's here. So there's going to be one less comment, commenter on the live chat right now. And, of course... our girl Amber, marketing girl Amber, you're going to see a lot of behind the scenes stuff today. Public relations, fine. Okay, Moway, what's the difference? There's no difference. Marketing and public relations? There's a difference. All right, a little difference. Not much of a difference, but in any event, we are here. We are live. It is Feel Good Football Friday with a little bit of a lean because Kyle is in the house. The chat is already opening up. We got Ashley coming in. What's going on, Ash? Good morning to Ash.
Hi,
and, of
Ash.
Course, Danny, my brother. What's up, fellas? Let's go Cowboys. Yes, sir. It is time. We are here. We've made it to the weekend. But first and foremost, to subscribe to the podcast here, obviously the show, the Daily Show, be sure to do that. Hit subscribe, hit like. We'll talk about YouTube in a second. But first, patreon.com/chopsports. That's the way to support us. We have actually supportees in the house right now. Kyle's a Patreon member. The Beaver, Scoop came in. He said the only reason why he's here is because he pays for the extra service, for the VIP service to be here. So that's cool, you know, so he's here. And then obviously Dina, our public relations girl. I'm not sure if she's contributing to the cause or not. Uh-huh.
Got
all right.
Silent.
You are now officially back to marketing. She's working here, folks. So anyway, we do welcome everybody, and patreon.com is the way to support us. $3 starts you there. Get all the tiers and the discount card. Bro, you shout out to Gooch for finally getting the coupon codes and the discounts and the gift cards out yesterday. I know that Dina used hers yesterday, bought herself a nice pink and black. I'm wearing a black and gray one, pink and black track jacket that's out there. So there's new merch on the store, chopsports.shop. So that takes care of all that as far as that's concerned. But as far as the YouTube goes, I mean, look, we're not Kyle Kerms, okay? We are not Kyle Kerms. We know a lot of Kyle Kerms' people are in the house today in the chat watching this show. But I do know that Kyle Kerms definitely inspires us to be better at YouTube. And yesterday, for whatever reason, I don't really know. The algorithms are terrible. I don't understand them yet. I'll learn a little more. But yesterday, myself and Gooch recorded a segment during the show on Brian Flores, that entire wacky situation with Tua. We put it on our YouTube and bang, 4,000 people watched that video. So shout out to those who are new subscribers. We got a lot of new people coming in. So if you're watching this right now, be sure to hit the like button and, of course, subscribe to the channel. Okay, I said that all
sports,
in one breath.
Baby.
I said that all in one breath.
Let's do it.
Now I'm tired, and now I'm pretty much done. So, but yesterday, as we were recording, and we had our show yesterday, we had some breaking news in regards to, I want to say our, except for Gooch, because he has no actual affiliation with any NBA team, but me.
What are you talking about? He loves Steph.
He loves Steph Curry and the Warriors, for now, until they stink again. Did they lose again?
Dude, they were horrible.
Yeah,
they were 40 at half.
They got skunked. Steph didn't play a minute.
Up 40 at half and lost?
No, the Bucks were up 40. Oh. Beat the hell out of them.
I was like, wait a minute. They blew a 40-point lead?
And now,
Falcons?
Now all of a sudden, Chris isn't a Steph fan.
Oh, he's not a Steph fan anymore. But anyway, we're all Knicks fans here. And the first topic of conversation, obviously, is the big splash trade that the Knicks made last night. Cam Reddish is a New York Knick.
Killer
Cam coming to New York. We trade away, rest in peace.
Jesus Christ.
Shout out to Kevin Knox's career, who just went down the shitter again. Yeah. Because I don't know how much of a role he's going to play down here. But my question to you guys, who are probably a little bit more knee-deep in Knicks than I am. I'm obviously a massive fan, and I know the team, and I've watched the team every game. But where the hell does this guy find a role, man? Like, here's the thing. He was disgruntled in Atlanta for his playing time. That's been noted and talked about, right? Then we trade off Kevin Knox, who was also buried on our bench.
Yeah.
But now we're taking on Reddish, who's going to be looking for minutes with the return of Rose.
He'll get minutes.
What kind of minutes are we talking about? Like, what's the role that he's going to play?
He will be the premier wing guy on the second unit for sure. I don't know if he cracks the starting lineup, especially with Fournier shooting the ball the way he is and RJ Barrett just blowing up. So
out of nowhere, thank God we waited for that forever.
That was nice. Probably doesn't crack the starting lineup, but what the Knicks what they're missing from last year, what they were missing from last year, I should say, is Reggie Bullock, man. And he's gone. He's in
no relation
now.
To Sandra.
No, he said they are related.
I know. I saw that.
So, yeah, it's his defense on the perimeter. All last year, the Knicks were top in the NBA in defense on the perimeter, defense against the three-point shot, defense against the long mid-range shot. And Bullock was obviously not the only contributor to that, but he was a big part of it. Since he's left the Knicks this year, the defense has not been the same. So getting a guy like Cam Reddish, who's a premier perimeter defender and can shoot the outside shot just like Bullock can. So it's almost like we replaced the piece that I thought we were missing from last year. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's a wonderful. He's a 3-and-D. He's definitely an athletic guy. And a guy like him is going to earn minutes in the Thibodeau rotation over a guy like a Kemba, I think, because you need to play defense. And
poor Kemba.
When the Knicks made the Kemba move in the offseason, I was scratching my head because I'm thinking to myself, like, well, they were a great perimeter defensive team, and now they got a guy that basically dribbles out the shot clock and doesn't play defense. So people were wondering why he wasn't in the rotation. Well, this is why. You see the guy that's the next cover.
Does this now, bury Kemba Walker even further down with the fact that we have Reddish?
Well, the thing is, with Derrick Rose still hurt, who actually, Derrick Rose returned to the Knicks practice facility. He didn't practice, but he rejoined the team. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel as far as Derrick Rose's injury. But with him hurt, if Kemba returns, he'll get minutes just because we're so thin at point guard. Alec Burks is running so many minutes. And then
I love
Quickly.
Burks, love him.
Quickly, I don't really see Quickly as a traditional point guard. He's more of a two to me.
He reminds me of John Starks. In regards
he
to
can't slam it like Starks could.
He couldn't. Over Jordan, by the way. Greatest poster of all time. Stop. Anybody who says that it wasn't over Jordan is living in denial.
It was a nice dunk, but it wasn't over Jordan. We don't have to get into that. It simply wasn't over
Jordan, but whatever. In any event, I say John Starks because I feel like when Quickly's on, he is like, woo, he is on. But when he's off, it's like, get off the freaking court, please.
I would like to see more of a distribution point guard rather than Quickly and have Quickly play the two. But regardless, that's the team we have, and I think it's a solid team, and I like Cam Reddish, the addition.
I like it, too. So you should. Actually, you know what? That's a great way to plug it because there is a podcast on the Chop Sports Podcast Network that dove way deep into the Cam Reddish trade. That's the Cross Court Cast, available now. Scoop and his cousin Vinny off the COVID protocol list are back in studio yesterday. We're probably all going home with COVID because they just Rudy Gobert everything that they were in here last night. I know everybody's looking around like, oh, shit. Oh, God. Here we go.
I'm immunized, so I'm good. Yeah.
Well, Gooch over there is Aaron Rodgers, so he's immunized. He's good. Don't worry about that. But just remember, ladies and gentlemen, you're joining us right now. Obviously, you're seeing multiple faces on your screen if you're just joining us. We do have the Sauce Kyle Kerms in studio along with the Prop Beaver, AJ Bascone. If you're watching this, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button right now because right now, not right this second, but in this episode, you will be getting one, a playoff guarantee from the Sauce. So that's okay. Let's everybody's going to either jump all over it or agree with it. I'll probably ride with it. Maybe. I don't know. But you also have what you're calling a Hammerhead Shark Lock of the day that's
Hammerhead
coming up. Hammerhead Shark is coming
I wish I thought of that or knew that when I was making the graphic because I was
you would have put a Hammerhead Shark.
Lock that doesn't even need a graphic, bro.
Wow.
Well, make a graphic, but I didn't add a Hammerhead Shark.
That is the Hammerhead Shark is how the hell did you comment? I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. But anyway, so thank you guys for joining us today. That's the show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. No, but for real, there's other things to get into. Obviously, the Cam Reddish thing excites us Knicks fans. On the other side of the spectrum, there's a very sad story coming out of the NFL yesterday. The firing of one Madden generic head coach, number two, David Culley. David Culley has been fired from the Texans, and that stinks because I think at the end of the year, we were all kind of feeling this guy like, go get him, guy. Go get him, Skipper.
I wasn't feeling him, but I will say the fact that he was able to beat the Titans, the fact that he did get even over 3 wins, to me, is so impressive with the roster that he had. So.
With Davis Mills at quarterback, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure one of you guys, Kyle, since the panel, you put a rookie of the year
vote? I put a number 3.
He did put a 3.
Yeah, he's probably the best rookie quarterback this year,
So what? He's better than Mac Jones?
You can't put him over Najee Harris or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I mean, probably not, no.
But he's a panelist for a reason. We haven't kicked him off the panel like we're about to kick off AJ off the panel because of his vote for Jonathan MVP. Taylor for the MVP.
But it's just remove those guys. We're talking quarterbacks only. Who fair. Played better? I mean, which rookie quarterback played better?
In reality, Mac Jones did play better. But that's it.
The fact that you can have a debate about it is something to be said in itself, though. Right? I mean,
food guy coming in saying them four wins were impressive with that team.
It
really was.
That's what I'm saying.
There was no who's who.
Played well on Sunday was traded by Tuesday. Week after week week.
His value is
from
right
like
here.
Week one time through to get rid week of ten. It was a trade
that's
every
not,
week.
You're not wrong. Every week it was somebody else that they were writing off. Like, oh, by the way, that corner, he picked off this guy. That's great. He's going to look great in another uniform in about 6 days.
When we made the graphic in the beginning of the year when we were doing the divisional record predictions, mm-hmm. Remember the Houston Texans? I couldn't find three relevant players on the roster. I put an actual garbage can in there. The fact that they made it this far is truly, to me, an incredible feat.
Brandon Cooks had a great year.
Brandon Cooks balled out.
But now, here's what AJ, the beaver, the prop beaver who's always in on the news, put out in the group chat today, that there is a leading candidate, which makes it's like the Texans don't care. And it's really upsetting because maybe their ownership sucks. What?
Put that toast comment up. Did he really have the same amount of wins as Deshaun Watson?
Last year?
Last year.
I was just reading that toast comment.
Last year.
Oh, Watson was there all year and had four wins. So, wow.
But I don't know that Davis Mills.
Effing Mills.
Did Tyrod Taylor have any of those wins?
I don't know.
I would imagine that there's not all four of Davis.
Maybe not all
Davis.
Just one is Tyrod's against
But in any event, there is a leading candidate, according to the prop beaver, who found out that Patriots linebackers coach Jared Mayo is now the favorite to go coach the Texans. Now, while I understand that some of these younger guys and some of these assistants are going to really come on strong and all that and have a real good successful first go, they just did that with David Culley. They brought a guy that was a receivers coach for Kansas City, in which after a year that none of their receivers caught any touchdowns. So it's like, what are we doing? Like, why are the Texans? There's guys like Zimmer out there now. If they want to give Vic Fangio another ride, like, what if Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore or somebody that like has some kind of relevance, but fucking Jared Mayo, what are we doing here?
I think what you're alluding to is the fact that they even hired David Culley in the first place, and what they basically did was they hired him as a stopgap. Everybody knew it. NFL executives were saying it like, oh, yeah, well, I'm surprised it took this long, meaning like it should have happened on Black Monday. But to your point, do you really think that any of these guys, these head coach candidates that are actually established, are going to go to the Texans with the way that front office is operating? There's no quarterback there. It's an abysmal situation. They have a high draft pick, but they've had one every year since they've started. Maybe outside of a
shout
couple
out to
years
Scoop
with
back-to-back
Watson.
Number one pick overalls, man. Congratulations for the Jaguars landing that number one overall pick 2 years in a row. Let's see how they screw this one up this time. But no,
I don't know if the Texans
Lawrence wasn't a screw up. He actually played really well.
No, I just said that.
Yeah.
What? Said what?
Being stoned.
Oh, all right. Well, in any event.
I don't think that the Texans are going to get a good head coach. Jared Mayo, they might as well bring him in for a year because he'll be gone next year too. I don't think it matters.
Is the Texans' job a destination? Robert Bohannis just said, who the hell would want the Texans' job? Is that a team that
I'll
you
take
can
it.
Yeah.
The sauce. Okay, so Kyle Kerms is now throwing his
you know who will take
in
it?
That
Jared
one.
Mayo will definitely
exactly.
take it.
Exactly.
You know?
Then that's the problem, though. Are the Texans now just going to be this recyclable bin of just people that are like, yeah, I want a head coaching opportunity, so why don't I just go to Houston? You know, like is that going to be the new thing for Houston?
The split second they traded Hopkins for nothing. Nobody wanted.
Well,
that was
a Bill O'Brien thing.
Like, no, that was a salary cap thing. They couldn't afford to resign.
It doesn't matter. I understand
him,
that.
Captain America, J.J. Watt was
trading.
Trading
Hopkins was the right move. What they got in return, brutal. David Johnson, that contract was pretty much.
How much does he play?
It wasn't even a money save.
30% of the snaps over there, maybe total.
Well, and then they signed Cobb to a pretty decent deal, right? And then they brought in Cook. So they essentially replaced Hopkins with guys that their contracts equaled them, but none of them are on the team now except Cooks. And honestly, I felt like they were desperate to trade Cooks this year, but nobody would take that contract.
Is Cook, by any chance, off the top of anybody's head, is Cooks a free agent?
No.
He's got one more year left.
So he's a prime trade candidate this year.
I was just going to say, he's now on his contract year, and if he wants to ball out the way he wants to ball out, Davis Mills might not be the guy to get him that payday. So anyway, Sean Redding coming in. Texans low-key had the best rookie quarterback this season. Yeah, so he's agreeing with you
exactly.
over there.
Exactly.
Davis Mills.
Throwing bullets.
Long-necked Mills just getting the job done in
generic
Houston.
Generic quarterback number two.
Seriously. They had the Madden franchise.
He was pretty good at Stanford, though. I like Davis Mills. No, I did not think he was going to do this well, though. win three out of four. Three won like three out of four over one stretch or something, or two out of three.
Yeah. Let's see, Robert Boyan. The Texans are a dumpster fire. They couldn't even hire Watson, his own masseuse. That's not right. He's not wrong.
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon, man. Stop. He said, Stumpy Corey coming in saying, I would say it's a good location slash destination. Houston? I've been there for about a cup of coffee in a layover flight, but other than that, I can't see
the
that
Rockets
being.
The Rockets have a good fan base, and the Astros? They got, that's a
oh,
good,
the cheating
it's a good city.
Bastards known as the Astros. Yeah, bring it.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I don't think we're referring to vacation spots here, though, guys. So
this is true. It's not a vacation destination.
Who wants
destination?
To be the head coach of the Texans that's an established head coach? I don't think there's many. That's why you look at Jacksonville, too. Dan Quinn, it was like a breath of fresh air for all Cowboys fans saying, like, oh, Dan Quinn wants to build a legacy. I'm looking at you.
I know. I see what you're looking at.
It had nothing to do with that. He just didn't want to get crushed in Jacksonville for the next
that's
2 years.
A good destination to be in. The roster right now, if you look up and down the roster of the Texans and the Jaguars,
I would
it's not ideal.
If they hire... If they offer him the job in Denver, he's out. Because Denver is a good destination. You have, like, some history
we'll
there.
We'll see. I spoke to DallasCowboys.com writer David Hellman last night on the 2-Minute Warning podcast on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. He would say that likely Dan Quinn is not back next year. So I agree that we might be one and done with Dan Quinn, but maybe Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore's got a massive audition this weekend. What's up?
Put up that comment from Sean Redden, Dina.
Dina over there. What is that? Texans want to bring in a new coach that will massage their relationship. That's perfect. Bro, your boy Sean Redden looking like Colby Covington right there. Speaking of Colby, trying to get him on the show. It might actually happen. So, yeah, we're going to get him on the show because
he dropped some heaters
last night. When you go at somebody's family, even I was like,
he called Masvidal a piece of shit father.
It's like, he did.
Like when
he
you did. Say that about
well,
it's
he
like,
did.
It's,
and I was
that's
like,
not
oh,
selling
man.
A fight anymore. Like they might have to fight in the street now. Gilbert Burns. And he was like, yeah, I was with his ex-wife, who's not his ex-wife. They're still married.
Oh, and here's her name,
Maritza
by the way.
Masvidal.
Like, changing her name. Oh,
he's
rough,
like, he's a piece
scene.
Of shit father. Great
rough scene, Colby.
Great
like,
promo.
I love you to death, bro, but Jesus Christ, like, leave the families out of this. The man's got a family. But in any event, so David Culley fired. That sucks for him. But look, we're all here because it's playoff time, right? It is. Mm-hmm. The NFL playoffs are starting on Saturday. We have ourselves four games that we're going to go over. We're going to save
five.
Monday.
No. Five. What? There's three on Sunday.
Yeah. What did I miss? Wow, Steelers. See, even
wow,
I'm forgetting about
you
the Steelers.
Wrote Big Ben.
I wrote down. I wrote off Big Ben already.
Big Ben in his interview
so five,
was like,
sorry.
"We suck. We suck,
dude."
So.
I. You know what's funny? Reporters ran nuts with that. Like Big Ben guarantees loss. And I was just like, "What?" Everybody. He's pandering to the crowd. He's basically saying, tongue in cheek, like, "Oh yeah, I know. We're not supposed to be here. Suck. Whatever. Blah."
He was
you know,
just
like,
casually answering a question. Honestly, like, who cares?
Right, exactly. So anyway, we do have five. I stand corrected by the entire panel here. Jumping down my throat. But in any event, we have a lot of games going. We're going to go in broadcast order. Obviously, KyleKerms.com for the actual VIP ticket for all the actual picks. What we do here is we lean, right? He's going to give his analysis. He'll break it down. Sometimes he'll splash in a pick by accident or actually say, like, hey, I'm going to give this pick away. Whatever he wants to do today, it's hard to do because the games are tomorrow. The games are Sunday. The games are Monday. So, like, the lines can move. We've seen the lines move. I was talking to my brother. By the way, covers.com, is that a thing? That's a website? Okay. He was like, yeah, I was on covers.com. I was like, I just heard that commercial on the way in here. And then Danny said he was on it. So, obviously, that's where you find out where all the money's coming in, yada, 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 or one of the websites to do that.
It's but, one of many where you
yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there's a zillion websites out there that do this. But we are here to do our picks as far as me and Gooch and AJ. If he wants to throw some picks in there as well, he can. And obviously, we'll go to Kyle for the rest. But we got to start with the first game of the weekend, which again, Dina will be hell bent over because she is the resident Raider fan here at Chop Sports. We have a lot of Raiders ties, Tommy D, Joey D, my boy Mark. There's a million Raiders fans out there, all eyes on this game. So the line is the Bengals favorite at home, like they should be, -5.5. The over-under set at 49. The Raiders coming off their feel-good victory of the year with the whole fact that they could have needed it if they wanted to, but they decided to win it and take down the almighty Chargers. I'm going to throw this one to you first, Gooch. We'll rotate that way. But in any event, Joey B gets back on the field. He had a week off. The Bengals are back. They're high-flying offense. How do you see this one playing out?
Jackpot Joey ain't losing this game. I think that the Bengals just too much for the Raiders. They do things well. I can't figure out exactly what, with the Raiders because it's like when you look at them, you're like, oh, where do they have the where they have an edge? I very rarely look at Raiders games and be like, you know what, they have the edge here. But somehow or another, they've managed to put together 9 wins this year, get into the playoffs. But I think that everybody's destined to see the Burrow Mahomes rematch at Arrowhead that we saw a couple weeks back in that thriller. And I know that has nothing to do with the point spread in this actual game, but just looking at Joe Burrow in a playoff situation for his first time, I just think that this guy's got it, and I can't see David Carr going in there and taking out Burrow. Just don't see it happening. The Bengals do a lot of things well. They stop the run good. The Raiders are decent against the pass. If there is one strength of that defense, they get after the quarterback and things like that. But we all saw what the Bengals are able to do with those receivers on the outside. You mix in a little Joe Mixon. That rhymed. I didn't even do that on purpose. But
mix in a little Joe Mixon.
And I just think it's a recipe. I know Joey D is a big Raider fan, and he's a daily listener, a good friend of mine. I'm sorry, bud, but I'm just going to have to roll with Cincy. And honestly, I think Joey D might even fade his own squad in this one, knowing him.
If he does that, I'm going to say it right now, and I love Joey. I think he's a good dude. He's played wonderful softball for us. Like, he's a great guy. If you go out there and fade your own team to make money, You are just. I can't. The words I want to use, I'm not going to use because I like Joey. But if you go out there and put money on the opposite team,
The good thing about someone like Joe is he doesn't give a shit what you think when it comes to betting money.
I'm saying
people like Joe don't care about what people say. It's like he's going to make his bets.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
All right,
welcome back. That was our break, so that's going to be a perfect opportunity for me to insert a commercial and all that on the podcast. But we are back here on the network. We're back here talking about the Raiders and the Bengals. Obviously, you already picked the Bengals. I mean, yes, you picked the Bengals minus the 5. AJ said, can I chime in? I literally said before that, hey, AJ, we're going to give you a chance to pick, but then you raised your hand. So go ahead. Where are you going with this one, AJ?
All right, so sounds crazy enough, but I'm going to go with the Raiders here. The Sharps like it. I like it. And there's multiple reasons why. The Bengals' last playoff victory was on January 6th, 1991.
Oof.
That is a very, very long time.
Yeah, did you see the meme?
No, I didn't see the
meme. That there was never been a text message sent about the Bengals winning a playoff game. That meme has been going around since the Marvin Lewis era. So
yeah, but
it's
that's
an old recycled
I've never
meme.
Heard that or seen that. That's actually really...
First text message was sent in 1992. So they're on the last
playoff. Was it really?
And yeah, 91.
Wait, really? That's incredible to me because I'm thinking I sent my first text maybe my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
You know, and so people were sending text messages in 1992. You know who won the Super Bowl in 1992, buddy? That's my Dallas Cowboys. So the first time you were ever able to send a text about a Super Bowl champion, it was about the Dallas Cowboys. How about that? So anyway, we're back. Sorry again for the playoff.
I didn't finish.
Oh, sorry.
I did not finish. Okay.
I thought you took the Raiders.
I didn't get to explain anything.
All right, explain
the
yourself.
The Raiders held Joe Burrow to his worst passing performance of the year in their first game with just 148 passing yards. And let me just go ahead and say something. This Raiders team plays the most zone coverage in the entire league. Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the league against man coverage, but against zone coverage, those numbers begin to drop. I am all over the Raiders here. The Bengals finish the season 30th in sacks. It started off strong, that offensive line, but it is dwindling at the end of the year, and the Raiders are ramping up the pressure right now. Give me the Raiders and give me the Raiders money line.
I do want to shout out some of the chat here. Ian Lawson coming in saying, can someone turn off AJ's audio again? So they're not agreeing with you. Beaver, you got, man. Raiders is the play. My brother sounds like a tea kettle. God damn it. The Bills won a playoff game last year. I don't know what Zach...
tea kettle? I don't even know what that means.
Like, he's just like...
He was screaming.
AJ, I thought you sounded great.
AJ, what that means is passion. You had a lot of passion behind that
pick. I thought
you
sounded great, and I thought the analysis was great. I still don't agree with the pick, but I think that everything else, it did have me questioning myself, so maybe I'll fade myself.
All right, so here's, I'll go, and then I'll throw it over to Kyle.
This tea kettle's about to fucking pop off this Sunday.
we got to get a fucking, like a picture of him doing the thing, right? All right, so anyway, as far as I'm concerned, I have a rooting interest, and I have a betting interest. My rooting interest is with the Raiders. I am pulling for Dina. I'm pulling for all of our Raiders fans' friends, right? But I think the story's over. I think that this unfortunately ends for all the Raiders fans and Derek Carr and that coaching staff. And it's been great all year. Let me tell you, it's been one of the feel-good stories of the year to know that they went from Gruden getting fired to Ruggs killing people to all the stuff that they went through, and then for them to bounce back and get back to the playoffs and compete. This will be a competitive game. But I think it's – I think what are we looking at here? No. I think if – whatchamacallit? I think it's. I lost my train of thought because this one's like.
It's going to be a competitive game.
I think it's going to be. No side conversations.
It's
going to
be a competitive game.
Kidding. Yes, competitive game. I think it's going to be close, but then at the end of the day, I think the Bengals have like a 10-point lead, and they just run away with it after that. I don't know, man. I like Derek Carr. I love the story. Love the kid. Love the entire thing they got going on. I just don't see it. What do you got over there?
Well, I like what AJ said about...
Good segue, Dave.
I like what AJ said about the man in zone coverage. No one runs zone coverage as frequently as the Raiders, and Joe Burrow has been excellent against man coverage, not so great against zone, so that was a great point. What I'm seeing here is this line was 6 as of Tuesday morning, and the bets are about even, but the money's all over the Raiders. The sharps are hammering the Raiders, and the books don't like it. It's down from 6 to 5.5 to 5. We're all the way down to 4.5 is the consensus line as of this morning. It might even keep moving after this. So
you think it gets lower than that?
It's on the move right now, and 91% of the money's on the Raiders, and the books are not liking it.
But based off your theory, not theory, but like what you're seeing, right? Like based off that alone, like if it gets down to 3, let's just say it gets down to 3, that means if this game was played in Dallas, it's a pick 'em.
I don't think that it's going to get down that low.
That's what I'm saying.
It'll hit 3.
Once it gets a little bit lower, other money will come in and change things.
I think the lowest it'll get is even 4.
Win All Day says it was at 8.5 at one point. Is that true?
I don't know. I start tracking on Tuesday morning.
Okay.
So if it was at 8.5, it was before that.
Ken Paulman, Scoops literally commenting from across the room. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate you. Vought says Raiders, so good job on the Vought. Chargers fans might be rooting for the Bengals, according to Ken Paulman. So you think the money is kind of leaning one way, or at least coming in one way. I won't make your pick, obviously. But obviously.
No, it'll be on YouTube tonight.
All right. Well, there you go. There's your game tonight. You can hit up Kyle Kerms on YouTube, the Sauce Network. Hit up KyleKerms.com. Subscribe to his VIP service. We've all won money so far. I mean, nobody's out
last
here.
Last night was dope for NBA.
Last night I missed out on the NBA because I was here all night doing things. So I forgot all about that, so I didn't get a chance to get in there. Matt Ibby, betting the Raiders and taking the winnings to get that hat from AJ. So basically he's going to pay you for the hat once he wins. So Ibby coming in, who also, by the way, you guys are all baseball fans. Shout out to
that was a great
Till Mets Do Us Part, a podcast on our network. Matt Ibanez, John Sapanaro. They had the legend, the icon known as Turk Wendell as a guest the other day. What a psychopath he was back in the day, but what a great interview. So much fun, funny stuff. Go check that out on our network. That's at chopsportsmedia.com. So if you're liking this video and you like what you see right now, like the video. So it's all in one shot. Subscribe to the network. Last night we wanted to get to 500. We soared right past it. So the next goal is 1,000 subscribers for Chop Sports. So be sure to check this out. We have Kyle here on Fridays, especially during a playoff time. It's going to be fun. And then after that, we'll probably bring him back for lean, whatever the hell we want to do.
College basketball.
We got the Toast coming in. If baseball ever decides to end their lockout, he knows a lot of stuff about baseball. So keep tuning in to Chop Sports, and we appreciate you guys entirely, greatly, grateful, forever grateful. Anyway, Saturday night, prime time. We got ourselves a rematch, a third time, a trilogy, have you. That is the New England Patriots taking on the Buffalo Bills. The line is -4 in favor of the AFC East champions, and that would be the Buffalo Bills. The line, the over-under is 43.5. The Patriots coming in, a little bit of a back-in ski. Yeah, that's right. I was waiting for my moment. Back-in ski, and that's that the Patriots are moving you know, kind of in the wrong direction in the last couple months of the season. They started off hot. Mac Jones got growing after that Cowboys loss. I feel like they went on a run. I think they won like six in a row after that. But the Bills home, I'm going to pick this game first. Look, Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in NFL history. If you debate that, then something's wrong with you because the guy has all the hardware to prove it. I don't care who his quarterback was. Yes, it was Brady. But Belichick, overall, best coach in football. However, this is the changing of the guard and happens tonight or Saturday night. This is Josh Allen's moment to dethrone Bill Belichick, and I think he gets it done. I think that offense under Josh Allen and him putting the putting some air under the ball. You know, you got Stephon Diggs. You got a lot of playmakers. Dawson Knox, Singletary finally started to run the ball a little better over the last couple weeks. And, of course, the X factor here is the scrambling ability of Josh Allen. And I think that's going to give the Patriots fits. Give me the Bills at home, minus the four. I'll take the number. Gooch?
Yeah, I think the Bills are going to beat the piss out of the Patriots
in this
one.
Piss.
I know that the weather is going to be a factor, but I think that Josh Allen is a little more equipped to throw the ball in this weather than a Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a nice passer, but his balls look a lot like Chad Pennington's balls.
Pause.
So I don't think that he's going to be able to deal with, I don't think he's going to be able to deal with the wind factor. And you saw Josh Allen in the snow game. He was whipping the ball around the field. They weren't really accurate, but he could get the ball out there in 40-mile-an-hour winds, apparently. So the weather will be a factor. I don't believe it's going to be snowing, but the weather is going to be an issue. Devin Singletary over the last 3 weeks, I stole this from AJ, full disclosure. I think he's rushing like 6 yards a carry, 7 yards
something
a carry.
Something absurd like that.
Now, two of those matchups were against piss-poor teams. One of those matchups was against the Patriots. So he has had success. I don't think that he was there in the snow game. I think it was all Zach Moss and Singletary was out. I think that that's a big issue for the Patriots.
Anand right now, the Shark coming in saying playing. That Josh Allen has in fact been awful in cold weather. So that's a thing. I guess they chose the wrong kid to play in the wrong city. But that's going to be a cold
way,
weather forever.
I mean, I don't know. Mac Jones. There was a clip this year where he was saying that he never saw snow before in his life. So I'm pretty sure that Josh Allen will be more equipped to deal with the weather, being that he's got a couple years under his belt.
Breaking news coming in from the Doppler, according to Dan Sturcio, my brother. 8 to 10 mile per hour winds, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. But it will be 5 degrees.
It's going to be a low of zero or a
5 degrees
is high of five.
The high right now in
so
Buffalo.
The weather is
so
still going to be crazy. 10 mile an hour winds in 0 degree weather is very different than not a breeze.
We'll just I'm say not going to be out there. I didn't like it when it was 40 degrees in MetLife. Scoop. How cold was it that day? Freezing up there in the 300s,
and
right?
And we didn't. The difference is that Josh Allen, whether he could throw the ball or not, he's definitely going to be running the ball in this game.
Yeah,
you saw the way he's been playing the last month, like a beast running the football. Yeah, I just don't see the Patriots having any firepower to keep up with what the Bills are going to do in this one. Plus the pass rush.
Alrighty, I'm ready to go in. I got a nice stat here, people. I'm going Patriots. I hate it.
He's a Jets fan, ladies and gentlemen, so you got to paint him. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of lose-lose for you, but the Patriots more because they've been
really hate
thorn
this,
in the side.
But let's just go ahead and look at this. 6 out of the 27 rookie quarterbacks that have made their first playoff start have won. Just 6 of 27. That's 22%. Pretty bad, right? But if we look at these 6 quarterbacks, let's look at what they did in these games. They had, on average, less than 170 yards passing, less than one touchdown, and a 54% completion percentage. Awful. So you're probably asking yourself, how the hell did these people win these games? Well,
Bill Belichick.
All six of these teams had a top 5 scoring defense and a top 5 rushing offense. The Patriots this season have the number 2 scoring defense and they have the number 8 rushing offense. It is not top 5, but it is damn close. Josh Allen has proved too turnover prone for me. We've seen, even in that Jets game, he made some awful throws. I do not trust this Josh Allen character. I trust Bill Belichick.
Josh Allen character.
Patriots on the road.
All right. Patriots on the road, according to the prop beaver.
Another tidbit is that Belichick has completely owned McDermott so far in their tenure. In McDermott's tenure.
Last thing, week 16, when the Bills sold out to stop the Patriots run, they were blitzing every single play. Still average 5.6 yards per carry.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, if you want stats, the prop beavers got them.
What was the score?
They still won.
A lot to a little. Sauce, what are you feeling? You feeling any certain way here?
This won't be on YouTube also, but I will say, without the wind and without the precipitation, I could deal with the cold, but I'm speaking as far as Josh Allen. Without the wind and the snow/rain, I think he'll be able to score, put the ball in the end zone a couple times. I also think the Patriots are going to score too. So I'm probably definitely going to take the under in this one because I know everyone's going to take – I'm probably definitely going to take the over in this one because I know everyone's taking the under. Also at four, I probably am leaning New England, but it'll be on YouTube later.
Check out YouTube later on, the Sauce Network. You can actually find Kyle's page if you're not familiar with Kyle's page. It's actually linked on our page right now. So we give the rub to Kyle just like he gets all his people to come in here and watch us on Fridays. Everybody on our website and our YouTube channel, we have the link available for you. So in any event, what's wrong?
The comment that's
I Dina like just this kid.
Which one?
The one that Dina just put up, some Sam Grasso.
Oh, Sam Grasso. I like this kid in the Daniel Boone hat. Listen, man, he's an acquired taste. He was actually an intern for us once upon a time. All right, in any event, let's move on to Sunday. All right, Sunday. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. The line is 8.5, ladies and gentlemen. A touchdown favorite at home against the Philadelphia Eagles, who obviously rested most of their guys against the Dallas Cowboys in Week 18. Cowboys give them the beating of their lives, but again, there was nobody playing really, so I'm still – listen, you score 50 points in the NFL. I've said it 80 times this week. Still 50 points in the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. Could be all of us suiting up, and if the Cowboys put up 50 on us, I mean, that's kind of guaranteed. But in any event, this game in particular is interesting. There is a lot of people thinking that Philadelphia could pull this off. There is. And
guaranteed. Guaranteed.
What?
That's the guarantee.
This is it?
Yeah, that the Eagles beat the Bucs.
Well –
What I mean, wait, what? Wait a minute, hold on. This is the guarantee line you've been talking about for 24 hours. Is the Eagles money line?
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time the Tampa Bay Bucks played a good football game? It's been like 5 or 6 weeks. The Eagles are
going. Oh my!
The Eagles, when they're healthy, which they are, have top three strongest run games in the NFL. Tampa Bay's been struggling. I mean, the Jets just ran for 150, averaging 5.8 yards per carry on the Bucks. They haven't played a good football game since their last four games are against Carolina twice. And one of those games, Carolina was close. They scored at the end to make it look like a blowout, but it wasn't. Darnold was moving the ball.
I am in
Tampa Bay.
I am in utter disbelief right now. when Kyle speaks, I listen from Daddy. Who? Glow. Oh, do it. Glow coming in. What a effing pick, baby. Listen. I mean, Kyle, that dude, flooring me right now. Anything else with this one? Because it seems like you've done some extensive research on this one.
There's no such thing as a guarantee. It just sounds cool. The guarantee
Vince McMahon did it, right,
would Scoop? Be like take the Eagles with the 8.5. But the fact is, whatever that money line is, it's going to be a plus 225, maybe even more than that. I don't even know off the top of my head. But it's worth the risk because I really think they have a great shot at winning.
Incredible.
All over the Eagles.
Incredible. All right, so that's he came in before we came. What? Uh-oh.
It's supposed to rain all morning, too, in Tampa Bay. Now, originally, it was supposed to rain throughout the game. It's looking now, AJ, weather?
The weather, it's looking like it's about at a not sunny.
What the fuck was that?
That's incorrect.
That is incorrect.
That was incredible.
Dude,
what's the weather looking like? Not sunny.
We had two weather reports. Right. We had a weather.com say that it was going to be slightly rainy.
Silence. Okay.
You got to knock down that paywall, bro. What are we
paying? Knock down the paywall and get the premium weather Doppler forecast for
seconds. So what it looks like the rain is going to stop towards the beginning of the game now rather than rain through it. So I don't love it as much, but still. It's going to be soggy out there. Run the ball, Philly. Get me my win.
With the 62 degree and sunny after the rain, the fields might dry up, according to my brother. So
you got it.
I think he busted down the paywall. This guy showed me radars once.
I like the Sauce's original guarantee that I made the graphic for, which was Philly first half.
Yeah, but the Eagles are also not a great first half team, but the playoffs is a different atmosphere. So
decided that mid show, by the way. So I was like, that's why I looked at you when you said that's my guarantee, and I was like,
Goodness. So look, the pick is in from the Sauce. I mean, that's incredible. It's Florida, so all the chat is ablazing right now. Gooch, are you riding with the Sauce here? I mean, that's tough. But
I have a tough time riding with the Sauce. I do like Philly. In this matchup, I just think as it gets later in the game, when Sauce said first half, I was like, all right, that makes a lot of sense. But the Bucs are getting healthy. I know that on the like the optics of it, everybody's seeing the receivers, Godwin, Antonio Brown is gone. I mean, Perryman's somewhat serviceable. I think Gronk is back healthy, right? So he's got Gronk. He's got a safety net. He still has Mike Evans. And Scotty Miller makes plays. But their defense is getting healthy, and I think that's the most important part. I believe that they're getting their middle linebackers back, and I think that changes a lot against the run. I'm not going to go ahead and pick Philly in this one. There's no way. I just can't do it. I'm going to go with Brady. I just think Brady playoffs, I mean, I guess that's
JPP and his 1.5 hands.
Tom Brady. Back. Tom Brady has, I will say this, Tom Brady does have like 15 playoff eliminations as well. So it is possible that Tom Brady can lose in the playoffs. I know everybody thinks playoff game, Tom Brady, but I do agree that it could be a better game. But as it gets later, I think that they're going to put it on him.
This is... What? Scoop, you'll appreciate this one. Everybody stop. I didn't go to the Lakers game because they're playing the fucking Bobcats. No, for real. Oh, you'll appreciate that one too. So, dude, miss me with all this Eagle shit right now because this is Tom effing Brady, guys. Like, I don't care who. Like, look, yes, they've been playing shitty. Yes, they almost got bounced by the Jets. We all saw it. We also saw Antonio Brown go flying off the handle that game. So, therefore, yes, I don't think they would have pulled that one out. And, you know, they had a little bit of a distraction thing. This is Tom Brady, okay? I get it. Jalen Hurts is that guy sometimes. Not all the time, sometimes. He's effective when he runs the ball. I'm not really concerned with the weather because both of these teams played in bad weather throughout the course of the year. I get it. But, dude, at the end of the day, it's so hard for me to say, yeah, Tom Brady's going to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't see it. The number is big, so that makes me, like, hesitant, but... Still, give me the Bucks by 10. I think they were a turnover away from this one being a cover. Say, I think it's close at the end, and Jalen Hurts turns it over, and that's why they cover with a backdoor on that one.
The Packers are definitely not praying for an Eagles
win. Oh my God, are we talking about the Packers right now?
Just talking about the comment. You don't have the comments.
Do it. Go.
I just want
to. You didn't say anything when he talked about the Cowboys putting up 50.
The Cowboys are about to play
this week.
Yeah, we're about to talk.
I just want to close this out by basically saying Tampa Bay rush defense is not the same as they were last year. Over the past 3 weeks, they're allowing 4.9 yards per carry, and they were playing a bunch of nobodies. So simply put,
they were playing with a bunch of nobodies on their defense too, though.
Who are they playing with this week?
I'm pretty sure they're getting Lavonte David back. No.
Yeah, I think they are.
Sam Grasso coming in saying the line just jumped to 13 after the pick on the money line.
Averaging 4.9 yards a carry allowed against who? Two. Panthers twice and the Jets.
That's bad.
Okay, so look, the shock of the shocks is in. There still is a hammerhead shark pick later on, so hang with us for that one. But the guarantee, the playoff guarantee coming from the sauce right now, live on Friday, on a feel-good, lean Friday. It is January 14th. You heard it here first. The sauce is riding with the birds. I don't buy it. But and now he's a hawk. Everybody's a hawk.
No, it's an eagle.
Is that an eagle?
Did they even make noise?
I don't even know if they make noise.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't know. Hey, Boone over there.
Did you just ask if eagles make noise?
Watch National Geographic.
I don't watch National Geographic. I watch sports all day, every day.
Silent bird?
Right after my geography lesson. In any event, all right, moving on. What did he say?
You said silent bird? The fuck?
I'm not saying they're like, they don't make noise. But like sounds like a pigeon or
seagull
or what? Nature expert. Eagles are loud, according to Toast.
Toast loves eagles.
Toast has eagles and moose in the backyard of his house in Alaska. So shout out to
that is true.
We have them in Alaska.
Eagles are loud.
Boy, oh boy. Eagles. So let's move it on to the game of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Watch your mouth over there, Chief. All right. Throw your ass out of here faster than you can say bing bong. In any event, the San Francisco 49ers have made the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. They get it done last week. They beat up on the Rams when they needed to. They closed it out. And they'll be taking on the NFC East champion, Dallas Cowboys. Now, obviously, I've been back and forth with this one all week. I've been knee deep in all the research and just kind of nervous, kind of shitty feeling about it, kind of all way until last night. I did come up with my consensus feeling about this game last night. I'll make the pick first because I know Gooch is more than likely going to fade the Cowboys, but we'll see. The Cowboys are -3 at home. I am fearful of a Deebo Samuel. I am fearful of a George Kittle. I'm fearful of an Eli Mitchell. But I think when push comes to shove, this Dallas Cowboys defense has been special enough this year to clamp down in the end, in the trenches, in between the 20 and the goal line, meaning Eli's going to get his yards, right? Meaning George Kittle is going to get his splash plays, and which I'm going to want to throw something in my own home, right? I know I'm going to feel these anxiety-ridden things, right? But when push comes to shove, like I said, the Dallas Cowboys defense has been very special. We have potentially, or we know we have the defensive rookie of the year on our team. We potentially have the defensive player of the year on our team, i.e., you know, Micah Parsons being better than TJ Watt. That's another conversation for 3 days ago. But we have Trayvon Diggs to lock down a potential deep threat when it comes to big plays. He's given up yards, yes, but he also has 11% of his targets come down in interceptions. That's incredible. We also have a man named Dak Prescott, in which every single playoff game this guy has played, he's showed up in, okay? He's beaten Seattle. He's went toe-to-toe with one of the GOATs in Aaron Rodgers in his rookie year. And then he took down, or he at least played well against the Rams, and it wasn't for that fat-ass Anderson running all over the Dallas Cowboys, we would have won that game too. He shows up in these games. The Cowboys fans are going to show up in this game. The Dallas Cowboys are going to win this game. And they're going to win, and they're going to cover that number. And that's my story. That's the last time I can pick this game on a Friday. The Dallas Cowboys will be moving on. And if they don't, I will be here on Monday to eat all the crow. Gooch, what say you, my friend?
So when I first looked at the point spread, it looked initially to me like the books were begging people to take Dallas, because I feel like in a neutral site, this point spread would be the same. It should be 3, because Dallas has been the better team all season long. I know going into the year, the 49ers were probably projected to finish stronger than Dallas. But at the end of the day, the Dallas Cowboys are a 12-win team. The 49ers kind of squeaked in. I know that they had a good game. They had a nice little stretch in the last 5 where they played well. They did what they had to do to get in. But like I said, the optics initially to me was like, oh, the books are begging people to take Dallas in this one. And I was like, I want to see where the money is going. And in my head, I was fully expecting Kyle to say Dallas. All the money's on Dallas. So I asked Kyle, where's the money at? And he said, honestly, it's 79% on San Fran.
Over 80 now.
And the line hasn't budged any lower. So it's like, I feel like they're afraid of the Dallas money coming in, because if it went to 2.5, I feel like everyone would hammer Dallas at that point.
I do want to chime in on one comment from Stumpy Corey. Says, that sounds like a pep talk he had to tell himself in the mirror to stop himself from crying. I'm here to tell you, Stumpy, that you are 1,000% accurate. All right. Yeah. Just letting you know.
Let me just say something, though, Dave. That was beautiful.
I try to lay it all out there, man. Listen, heart on the sleeve. You know, star in the cap. Look, the Cowboys, it's been 3 years since we've been in the playoffs, so I'm excited. The family will be all joined together in one under one roof, and I think the Cowboys got to deliver.
And I picked Dallas. I'm just going to stop now since...
You're taking Dallas?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Dallas. Kyle will finish off my point.
Yeah, 2 conversation. We got the Eagles money line from Sauce, and we got this guy going with Dallas.
What you were talking about the money being on San Francisco and the line not moving... 3 is a hard number for the books to move off of, because there's such a difference between 3.5 and 2.5. So I'm not reading too much into that. But yeah, the action is definitely on San Francisco. But AJ, take it.
Honestly, I don't have any fancy schmancy numbers for you guys, but I do have this. Jimmy Garoppolo has 4 interceptions in his past 2 games. Trayvon Diggs is a interception machine, and as much as I sometimes discredit him, at least in terms of a DPOY argument, he is still a beast. He is an animal. And honestly, I think that the Dallas Cowboys could just overpower them offensively. I really think that the Cowboys win this one.
Oh, God. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
We all rode Cowboys, though, because we all know that everybody's on Niners. So we're all in consensus, but we're playing it sharp.
Okay.
We are fading the public for the most part here. But, yeah, I'm on Dallas. Hell yeah. But the one thing that I really like, and I've been hating on them all year, but I don't know what game it was, if it was last week against the Eagles or the week before that, but anyone notice that Zeke's got like a little hop in his step back?
Listen, he got hurt in the Carolina game in week four. That. He got hurt. So it's now 12.
No, I have not noticed anything good about Zeke.
And yes, he's gotten a little bit more pep in his step.
Where I was watching it, and he was planting and cutting like Zeke from a
is he breaking tackles?
He is, listen,
that's the one I want to see.
In regards to Zeke, I feel like, A, he's always looking for contact, which is kind of not good when you're a running back in this day and age when, like, the more hits you take, the shorter your career is. But he is looking for contact. But the best thing about the Dallas Cowboys right now is that they have a thunder and lightning type scenario where Zeke will beat the shit out of that defensive front, out of those linebackers, and then they're going to splash in Tony Pollard for a little bit. And that kid is lightning, boys. I'm telling you right now, Tony Pollard can have himself a 2-touchdown game by himself this week. And I know, look, I know there's a lot of people probably like coming in saying, well, Debo has been like potentially offensive player of the year type guy, right? And that's true. He's coming out of the backfield. He's catching balls. He's stretching the field. Debo is an absolute stud. But if you take away their main concerns, which be Debo, Kittle, Eli, you leave it in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't buy into Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, he's a porn star. Yeah, he's a stud, right? But he's not the quarterback that you want to go into this game. And I'll eat my words. If he tears up the Cowboys secondary, which I don't think he will, but Jimmy G is not ready for this defense.
It's not going to be the Jimmy G show. It's going to be situational passing by Jimmy G at best. And if there is something, it's going to be a couple big third downs that he hits Debo on short intermediate routes. He's not going over the top. And the 49ers don't really have the guy to go over the top with.
Brian Kirk comes in saying, is the Dallas O-line healthy? They are. This is the healthiest they've been all year long. It is Tyron Smith on the left, your boy Lyle Collins on the right, and then obviously you got your boy Connor Williams, Tyler Biadasz, and of course the best guard in football, Zach Martin. Their offensive line is healthy.
I told Dina to put that comment up because that's a great point. For the 49ers, they have great,
middle of the pack pass rush.
Yeah.
All they do is rush four.
But that's the thing is the secondary has shown us that you can beat them mm-hmm. as long as your quarterback has time.
Guys, they're relying on Josh Norman to cover guys over there.
I like Josh Norman.
I hate him. Despise that guy. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, the secondary is beatable. That's why I had her put that comment up there because I had that written down also. That's all.
Well, they are also getting Kawan Williams back as well as Mosley. They got both those guys back last
week. Linebackers?
No, both corners. They got them back last week.
All right, but listen, pretty well. All things considered, you know, the Dallas Cowboys to this day, right now, still, to me, have at least good 1-2 punch as far as their outside receivers. I know losing Gallup really sucks, but last week Cedric Wilson scored twice.
Yeah.
You know, so he's looking okay.
He made a great catch, too.
Oh, dude, he's one of those. He's going to be the reason why they don't even consider signing Gallup back, by the way.
I know.
Gallup tore his ACL, and now he's off ACL.
We have to sign Wilson also after.
Correct. There's going to be a lot of moves to be made. Hopefully, none of this offseason banter has to worry about the Dallas Cowboys. Give you a score?
Yeah, guys,
I'll give you the score I gave you last night.
Give it a week, and you might have some time to break down the Dallas offseason.
All right. That's great, Gooch. I appreciate you.
As I picked Dallas.
24-20. 24-20, the Dallas Cowboys get this one done. And it's because the Dallas Cowboys buckle down in between the 20 and the goal line. Not enough touchdowns for the 49ers. Couple field goals. I will guarantee one thing. I know there's no prop for this. Maybe there is. Maybe the Beaver can find it. Greg Zuerlein misses one field goal. At least one. I don't know when it's going to happen. Probably early on where I'm just going to want to punch everything in sight. But yeah, so Greg Zuerlein definitely guaranteed to miss one. But anyway, that's that game.
24-20?
24-20.
I say mini Bears 27, Giants 10, and it'll finally be a good game. I don't know if anyone remembers those kids.
Of course,
dude. All right, moving on, ladies and gents. The finale of the weekend, I guess this the Sunday Night Football. Port Al Michaels and Chris Collins. Here's a team that really stinks.
No. Ken Pullman just went 12-6 because we're about to talk
about it. Ken Pullman's about to go nuts as we go into. And, Glow, listen, Mike McCarthy stinks. Show me a coach that stinks that won 12 games after winning just six. Just saying. But, anyway, I'm not going to go back and forth with all you people. 31-10, according to Robert Bohannon, Cowboys. Nice. Good Lord. In any event, I don't like those blowout predictions. I hate those. All right, so one last game. The biggest spread of the weekend. It is the team that, quote, shouldn't be here, that, quote, won't win, that, quote, all the stuff that Big Ben went into last week or this past week. The Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead, favored by 12.5 to take on the backdoor people that just basically backed into this playoffs, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Backdoor people.
Yeah, I know. As I was coming, I was like, backdoor people. That makes zero sense. But anyway, if you guys are liking this video by the chance, based off my backdoor people, like the video, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate you guys for coming on. So here we go. Gooch, I'm going to give this one to you first. I think it's the most difficult game to pick based off of if you are going to pick the Chiefs, but go ahead and see what you got.
I'm pretty sure Toast put a little graphic in the group chat the other day about double-digit point spread. Double-digit favorites in the opening round of the playoffs are like 17-2. I don't think it's going to change much in this. Maybe not.
Is that a real thing?
Like 10-2. It's definitely alarmingly leaning towards the favorite.
I think it was like 10-3 against the spread. When there's a double digit favorite.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sir, so it's a trend, like, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, Big Ben was telling the truth. They are the worst team in the playoffs. They don't belong. I guess they do belong because, you know, there's a seventh team now, so they get in. But Big Ben's throwing the ball 40 times a game over the last like 3 weeks, and he's averaging 1 yard an attempt or something absurd.
It's bad. It's bad. I do want to clear up one thing. Backed in by winning, Ken. I know you're going nuts right now. You're watching this, and you're absolutely losing your mind. Backed in meaning they have a tie on their record, and they were one bad decision, coaching decision away from not making the playoffs. So, yes, look, that to me, that's a backing in.
I don't know what I was saying because I feel like that's like the fifth time today that I was in the middle, and I'm also a stoner, so I'm trying so hard to keep up
with the chat and like. All right,
So Double Big Ben throwing the ball 40 times a game doesn't work out well for them. They need to have a lethal dose of Najee Harris early, and it has to be successful. They can't just run the football and punt on their fifth play. They have to score points early. And even then, it's not going to be a safe lead, but that's their only chance at a cover, is like playing well in the first quarter, and then maybe like a punt fumbled or something like that. Maybe a TJ Watt strip sack, but they need a break. They need a few breaks, and with luck, they could cover. I just don't see them winning the game in any way, shape, or form. I'm going with the Chiefs laying. I would lay probably 20 in this one. I'm sorry.
20? 20? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Usually when I say that, it's just me saying, like, look, they're going to blow them out.
Well, okay,
I don't see much that Pittsburgh's going to be.
Do an alternate line, though. Do it. Like, just for shits.
I've done those all the time.
Yeah, no, just do it for shits.
I'm going to ride on his coattails here. I mean, I really think that.
So you're a backdoor guy, really?
Yeah, I love backdoors. And more so, the thing is with the Chiefs.
Sorry.
The thing is, I think that they could beat the Steelers team with Byron Pringle, Nicole Hardman, and a backup fucking tight end. I really think that's how bad the Steelers team is. I'm not kidding you.
You're not going to go Nick Wright on us and say that the Kansas City Chiefs should rest their starters,
They should not.
Right?
They should not. But they could and still murder this team.
That bad, huh?
Yeah.
Toast just put the stat in the chat. Dina, get that Toast stat up, please.
There has been 10 double-digit favorites in the wild card round in history, and 8 of them have covered. They won by an average of 17 points.
So I would lay 16.5 on this one.
There you go. And now that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But that's incredible. Keep going, AJ.
I feel like when I'm watching the Steelers, I'm watching the Giants half the time. I'm not even joking with you guys. These past 7 games.
You're talking about a team that won 9 games against a team that won 4.
I don't care. They won those games in the ugliest fashion against some of the worst teams. We're talking about the Browns with Baker Mayfield, who literally has his left arm half out of his socket. The guy cannot throw. He could barely walk. They're not a good team.
Sean Redden, a.k.a. Colby Covington. Big Ben's last game is on Sunday, but his right arm's last game was in 2019. That's very, very funny.
We were talking about the comparison between the 06 team and this team because they were both the final seed and they snuck in the playoffs, et cetera. And the main difference is, like, obviously the Hall of Famers is a huge difference, but Big Ben was in his mid-20s on that team. Fresh right now, he's 40.
Fresh out of Miami, Ohio.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. He wants some money on Miami, Ohio. I said, give me a jersey.
To speak on that point of Big Ben being 40, Steve Spagnuolo has been dialing up the blitz a lot since the Giant game. I'm sure he's been doing it even beforehand, but the secondary has been playing a lot better since they've been blitzing. Big Ben can't get out of his own way. I find it hard-pressed that he's going to be able to get out of the way of these blitzing linebackers every single down.
All right, so you and AJ both on the Chiefs big, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to follow it up. Robert Bohanna makes the point I want to kind of make. I know that the Steelers have had themselves a very tough go this year, and Big Ben looks absolutely atrocious in some of his plays.
And then does it in the fourth quarter. Somehow he does it.
He does right. Yes, so there's something to be said about that. There's also something to be said about quick release, meaning get the ball out of your hands because of the blitz, because of the front pass rush. Ben has the ability and the knowledge and the smarts to do that. I expect a very big, big, big game out of Najee Harris this week. I really, truly believe that. And for that reason. For that reason alone, for the quick release and the Big Ben final game story, he's going to lose this game.
There is nothing quick about Big Ben.
I'm talking about just his first reads.
Maybe his ability to
I'm not saying his release is Aaron Rodgers, dude.
And go somewhere.
No, I'm talking about he knows where he's going with every ball, which is also bad because that gets telegraphed and picked off to the house, right? So, yes, his release is not Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying his read is going to be quick because he has to be. He has to think on his feet. And if there's anybody that I'm going to, like, rely on to make a decent football decision as a quarterback, it's Ben Roethlisberger. The guy's been doing it for 20 years. So I don't think the Steelers are going to win this game. But Ben's not going out like a bitch-made little piece of garbage, okay? He's going out swinging. I'm taking this big number, and I'm taking the Steelers with the number. The Chiefs will more than likely win the game. But I think Big Ben loses, but not by this much. Not in his final game of his career. It's not happening. Big and Ben. That's exactly why in that game that you guys all rode the Cleveland Browns that night, I said, Big Ben's last home game? Are you kidding? No way. Not doing it. This is the same thing. He knows going in that this could be his final ride. He is going to empty that clip.
I was just about to say they emptied the clip already, though.
I don't think so.
In that game, though, the Big Ben's last home game, he played like shit. The Browns like gifted him that game.
That was when he had the second worst yards per attempt of all time.
He almost broke
but you know what stat he had in that one? The win.
The W.
The dub.
I'm on the Steelers also, actually. There's a couple things here. A couple like mismatches. The Steelers defense, it's almost like perfectly equipped to defend. It's bad, but it's horrible against the run. The Chiefs don't even really run the ball like that. The Steelers' strength is when you drop back and try to pass on them, which we know the Chiefs do a lot. Chiefs' offensive line folded in the playoffs last year, well, specifically the Super Bowl. A lot of people think the Bucs' pass rush is dominating the Chiefs' offensive line. That's why they got killed. Also, I think we're going to see almost the exact opposite from what we saw in Big Ben's last home game, where he was just nickel and diming. I'm expecting Ben Roethlisberger to throw
light him up, just
deep balls.
Go,
like you want
Deontay. Go,
Spagnuolo wants
Juju.
To blitz.
Get out of here, not Juju. Yeah. The other one,
Spagnuolo wants Claypool. To blitz. Cool, I'll take one-on-one shots with Chase Claypool all day. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's like a wake-up call win for the Chiefs, where they need.
Whoa, yeah, like pump the brakes. Whoa,
and then I will bet the Chiefs to cover next week.
I feel like the Chiefs.
You know, it's funny you said that. I want to say 3 weeks ago, we're like, oh, isn't it going to be funny when we bet the Chiefs in the second round of the playoffs?
Yeah,
like you just said it right there. You're going to take the Chiefs
in
the second round of the playoffs,
definitely, and then I'll bet the Chiefs to win by 15 the following week.
No, Juju. I don't think Juju's back. No, Juju's not back. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking outside the box of the way he can stretch the field. But in any event, so me and you are on the Steelers because of the number, right? The other guys are on the Chiefs, which is fine. We'll pick the Monday game on Monday. We'll probably have Kyle in the chat to break down some of the Monday night game Monday night game on Monday morning. But before we get out of here, so there's your NFL slate, and we can't wait. We're jazzed up for it. But before we get out of here, you got a Hammerhead Shark, which is another lock of his that he's going to come up with right now. So if you want to win some money here on a Friday, pay for your bar tabs, all that good shit, listen to this awesome stuff.
Let me just make sure the line hasn't moved since we started.
Hey, take that. Oh, my God. Okay. Dina, Jesus, let him talk. Keep going. Ashy took off everything
else,
too.
Did you hear
too.
The disgust? He was like, God damn it, let
okay,
him talk.
Okay, so, all right, so the game is Spurs versus Cavs in San Antonio, and the play is the Cavs here, and I know we're siding with the heavy public, but there's such a mismatch. I mean, the Spurs, offensively, to put up points, they need to attack the basket, specifically DeJounte Murray, and the Cavs have their full front court healthy. Jared Allen and Evan Mobley under the basket. No one dominates them at the rim. No one does. So to beat the Cavs have been playing well all year. I think they have the best record against the spread in basketball. To beat them, you have to get hot from outside. Spurs don't shoot many threes, and when they do, they're not a great three-point shooting team. I'm on the under, Spurs team total under, and I will take the Cavs to cover here tonight.
There you go, Dina. Now you can throw it up there. So here it is, the Sauce NBA lock of the day, Cleveland minus the 4. Didn't mean to get on you like that, Dina. Sorry about that. She's like, yeah, there goes your lunch. In any event, that is the lock of the day. You could take that down now. But if you are betting NBA, bet responsibly, please. But if you do want the rest of his VIP ticket, which we've all been playing every day pretty much since we've met the guy, KyleKerms.com for the entire VIP slate. He'll be on YouTube later to pick some of the NFL games, officially pick the NFL games.
College basketball tonight on YouTube too.
College basketball. So YouTube is ablazing right now. So if you're watching this, for starters, please like this video. That would do very, very big wonders for Chop
Sports.
Then
click the bell.
And then click the bell. No lies, Juju might come back. I don't think that's a thing. But
no,
anyway.
They were talking
maybe.
About it.
I don't know. Who knows?
I don't think he's going to
be
ready
great
this week,
for his last game.
If
why
they
not?
Win, I think Juju will play next week.
Okay.
But they're not going to win.
But also, subscribe to the network. We got ourselves a nice little influx last night. We expect to, as soon as we get off this stream, to hopefully see a whole bunch of new subscriptions. We appreciate you guys watching the entire time. We do this every single day. Myself and Gooch go live every day at 11. Dina joins the party as well every single day at 11 o'clock right here on our YouTube channel. We are live on Facebook as well, and as well as on my Twitter, but that's going to go away soon because we want everybody to come on over here and enjoy the party on YouTube. But again, thank you to Kyle. Thank you to AJ for coming in. Thank you for Scoop for being relevant today, but also relevant in the chat. We appreciate you there. We appreciate our PR, public relations expert, Amber, for being here for the behind-the-scenes stuff. So for Sturch and Gooch, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. Enjoy your football. If the Cowboys lose and are one and done, I will be here to show face on Monday. Maybe virtually. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of bed, but we'll find out. We'll find out this weekend.
You boys ladies ready to get dominated?
Let's go, Cowboys.
Going to get dominated in this fantasy football draft?
Yeah, we're also about to do a draft, fantasy football draft. So we're going to get to that. You guys subscribe, share it, do all that good shit. Thank you guys
for joining. Hey, Toast says, Mom is -4.
Oh, lock the Toast coming in with New Jersey. Pick.
Something else. One last thing. Trey Young in his past 10 games versus the Miami Heat has gone under in 9 of those games. That is a 90% hit rate. We are hammering that tonight. Trey Young under 26 and a half points.
All right, Trey Young, another. The Prop Beaver's here, and he's doing his thing. So go follow Prop Beaver online. We've tagged everybody on our social medias, Chop Sports Media on Twitter, Instagram, all that shit. Follow us. We'll see you guys Monday.
If you guys need us to slow down that clip of the tea kettle spouting out the prop pick, we'll do that
first
for you
of all
after the show.
You can hit this. Don't hit the stop broadcast yet. Hit the stop record over here on the thingy.